I have a scripture today. It's in Psalms chapter 1, and it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This summer, I decided I'd give him a hand at gardening, and it's been interesting. I didn't start from a seed. I got the pre-half-grown flowers and planted them from there, and it's been fun. But my mind has been on gardening this summer, just something new for me. But I started thinking about a seed and how everything, as far as flowers go, starts at a seed, and you have to plant it in some dirt, and you have to add some water. And throughout this process, something grows, unless you forget to water them like me. But, a little bud will appear, and from that, a flower or, who knows, corn, wheat, it doesn't matter what it is, but something will sprout and will take form and will grow. And I started comparing that to, our walk with God, and how when we dig into the Word and how we're digging in and our roots are taking place, and when we spend time in prayer and how the Lord just kind of confirms his Word, and it's like just adding water. And as we grow, it's just amazing at how much more becomes revealed to us, how much more our understanding becomes. And I want to thank the Lord today for his Word and for his truth and for his Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for his Word. Meditate day and night. Praise God. Our days are getting a bit shorter. Hate to remind you of that, but bite my tongue. No matter what the time, no matter what's going on, I'm thankful the Word of the Lord can become real to us. And thank God that the Word is real to these young people who come and share Scripture and know what the Word of God says to them. Hallelujah. And share what it means with us. Thank God for the blessings of the Lord. We're going to be in prayer for Sister Rebecca as she finishes up her work this summer and then heads back off to Bible school. Her last year. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't like those goodbyes, but we look forward to the spring when she returns. But look forward to further Sundays when the youth will be sharing Scripture again and again. Thank the Lord for his precious Word. Would you stand now? We're very glad to have Brother Varnum here with us. He pastors in Bellevue, Florida. He's the district secretary for the District of Florida, and he is a fellow laborer in that regard. Maybe a fellow sufferer would be more appropriate. But we're very thankful that he is here. Praise God. He preached at the East Coast Conference in North Carolina several years back, and I remember it so emphatically because of the emphasis of I that was in Romans 7, and then the transition. Thank God for a transition, a transformation, a translation, thank God, from I to Spirit in Romans 8. The emphasis on Spirit. The Apostle Paul learned that. Maybe you're going to preach that this morning. It'd be great if he felt that today, because it was an incredible message. And probably about 10 years ago now, but I still remember. And it very refreshing, very much a blessing. And we're thankful he's here today to share the Word of the Lord with you. Praise God. And I'm so glad you're here. Amen. Sister Sue, Brother Aaron, all of you from out of town, we're very glad that you're here. Thank God. And all of our faithful people, our loyal people. Amen. That was an awesome message that Brother Eichert shared today from the Word of the Lord. Amen. All of our loyal people. And if anyone is qualified to teach on loyalty, Brother Eichert is. Amen. With a capital L and a capital O and a Y and an A and an L and a T-Y. Amen. Well, we appreciate him very much. I'm very thankful for Brother Varnum and all of you folks from Florida. Thank you for taking time to come in the house of the Lord. God bless you. We want Brother Varnum to come and take his liberty. It's okay to this is Brother Varnum's first time in Sterling UPC.
Yes, sir.
Hope it's not the last time, but we want to give him plenty of time to share the word of the Lord with us today. God bless you, Brother Varnum.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. I certainly want to express to you, Miss, what a privilege it is for me to worship here with you all today, and for the folks who live in Alaska, and for those who have journeyed here from elsewhere to take advantage of your wonderful salmon and other fish that's in the area, and wildlife and game or whatever, and the beauty of Alaska. I just have enjoyed everything so much. Before when I was just making plans, I appreciate that I needed to make plans because Brother Tom Veely invited me. I've been dropping hints for years for somebody to invite me to come fishing. Finally, he caught it. Like one of those salmon, you finally snag one, you know, you get one. And when he invited me, I just took him up on it and invited three others to come with me, and they came. But meeting people from other places, Brother Parnell and others, is just enjoying the fellowship. But I called Brother Blackshear. My son Jason preached a youth camp here quite a few years ago, and he knew Brother Blackshear, and the son at that time, young Brother Blackshear, was youth president. Thank you so much. Alaska water is very good too. And so I called Brother Blackshear, not knowing, you know, I'm sure he's a busy man. I'm sure that he gets a lot of requests and calls from people in the summer for help. So I didn't know, and I was wondering if he would like say, well, you know, I don't know if I can help you. For goodness sake, Brother Blackshear was just so abundantly helpful. Just, let me see what I can do. Let me try this. Let me help you that way. Let me help you. And everybody else, Brother Glover and everybody that I've talked to, even the folks just in the public out here in Alaska, have just been so hospitable and so fun to be here. And so we thank God for the hospitality that Alaska has shown to us. And I hear a lot of good things about Alaska, but it's great to get to come and be a part of the good things that's going on here. And the churches and the teams, you folks' concept of the work of God inspires me. I mean, I want to go home and do better than we've done. We've reached out to start daughter churches, and we've reached out in the neighborhoods and have block parties and all kind of things. But you folks going 1,000 miles over rough terrain, I'm saying, man, we can do better than we're doing. And all these good reports and the vision of this church and using the young people to get involved with these things. There's just so many great things you have going for you here. And I know you realize that, but I want to tell you that I commend you and so much on those things. And Brother and Sister Glover, it's my privilege to be here with them and this church family and to be in this pulpit. I consider it a great privilege. Brother Glover, indeed, we did meet in North Carolina. And when I walked in here on Thursday evening for the service, when I saw him immediately, I said, I've seen this brother. I got to get his name back to me here. And we got reacquainted again here and reminded of where we'd seen each other, at least for me. And great preaching and ministry of his in North Carolina. And what I haven't said in front of him before is that I've heard his name when he was executive presbyter. He went around to help various districts in the lower 48 and help us to elect our officials and to conduct meetings. And I've been told by more than one that he was esteemed to be absolutely one of the best executive presbyters UPC's ever had. And I appreciate Brother Glover. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise God. Amen. 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 The Bible does say give honor where honor is due, and you have done the right thing by doing that today. And I'm just telling you how I feel, and apparently you feel that way and maybe much stronger. You have a right to. I'm going to minister today on some things, and I've got my brother here, one of my siblings, my older brother. I'm the baby in my family, and the one that's going to take my picture. If he takes my and then Brother Mike Wicker is on the pew next from him, and he's been with, I've been pastoring since I was a month from turning 19 in the same place, in the little town of Bellevue, Florida. But Brother Mike Wicker came in our very first year. I was just 19 years old when he came into the church there, and he's been with us ever since, as well as many others. And Brother Stan Plappert is also from our church, and we appreciate Brother Plappert. And he works with our Spanish ministry. I could say a lot of things. I better stop. But a lot of things. And, of course, Brother Tom Veely is very important to us because he married a lady from our church. And we miss her, but we're glad she found a good man, and God worked it out. Many misfortunes in life, and then God's great blessing, it comes along. I want to minister to you for a few minutes, and I'm sure that I could say more, but I know that I'm thoughtful of the time. And one reason I mentioned the folks from our church, they all kind of been, you know, hinting for me not to go very long today. I asked my brother, I said, just video like 2 minutes of me while I'm preaching. I just want, you know, proof that I was there and make memories of life, whatever. And I said, but because we've done many minutes of us fishing, so I figured I might as well 2 minutes of church won't hurt. But I love the video, I mean. But he said, when do you want me to do it? I said, about halfway through. I said, so I guess when you start taking the pictures, I'll be halfway through. He's already got his camera up. So here we go. So if that's halfway through, I'm going to go in a little bit overtime if that's halfway through. Well, I got to tell you this. They say that preachers cannot get up in the pulpit without saying something about fishing or hunting. So there you go. Yeah, I'll tell on myself. Brother Tom couldn't wait. As soon as it happened, he got on his cell phone and started telling people. So, yes, I will tell you. Yes, I fell in the Kenai River. Yes, I did. Oh, man. And what was interesting, you see, is because I was going to be the real hero. I mean, I was going to be the big top dog because we had lost some fish. And wasn't it you, Jimmy, catching the fish? That particular fish. And my brother he and I both, it's our first time to salmon fish, and we were learning. And I caught a couple. I don't remember how many I caught, some. But he was having trouble keeping one on the line. And so I had made up my mind, when my brother gets another fish on his line, I am going to get that net. I'd already told Brother Stan, Brother Stan, get out there. Get out there a little further. Get out there. You know, when they were trying to net the fish. And so I was going to be the big guy. I was going to show them how to do it, you know. This Florida flatlander. I was going to show them how to do it. So, yes, I did. I went out there, and I was going to make sure my brother got his fish. I went out there, and I got down to knee deep and got up a little above knee and got up to almost the top of my waders. And about that time, a rock zipped out from under me, and I went down on my behind. I'm telling you, woo! I'm talking about cold water. Man, we don't have water that cold in Florida, I'm sure. I mean, that's like just fresh, melted glacier or something. And, yes, I went down. And, oh, yeah, sure, everybody, the fish, hey, the fish, hey, get the fish. I said, help. Get the fish, fish, get the fish. Thank God for Brother Tom Veely. Everybody else worried about the fish. He reached out for a hand and got hold of me. Hallelujah. Yes, we did get the fish. And yes, they got me. Thank God, Brother Tom. He got me. I wasn't that deep, but I tell you right now, that water was so cold, I didn't feel like I could even work my legs. Lord, help me. I don't ever want to get in that river when nobody's there to help me. And the scripture says something about that. It's talking about what a horrible thing it is. Woe unto him that falleth when there's nobody there to help you. Get back up. And that's one reason why I want to be a part of a great church, and you are part of a great church. And it's not just the spiritual aspect, and that's the most important, but in life in general, thank God that we have somebody there to help us if we fall. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's a little bit about what I'm going to preach for just a few minutes from Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Jesus is saying these things. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible. Those three words are make things pretty strong there. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. And then I want to throw with that Proverbs 18 and verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You may be seated. Going to minister for a few minutes on this subject, what to do with offenses. And if I wanted to do a play on the sound of words, I'd say, get off the offense. Don't ride the offense. But what to do with offenses. Now, the reason I know this message is applicable right here in Alaska, right here on this day in this service, is because Jesus said it is impossible but that offenses will come. That means every single living person on earth, we are going to have offenses come our way. I know it applies to us. And yet, when offenses do come, if we don't have to be offended. That's like being shot at. The difference between that and stand there and let them shoot you. It's the difference between something attempting to be done and then us making sure it does happen to us. But he said offenses will come, but he did not say it was impossible not to be offended. The offense is that thing that comes into our life or comes through our life or happens to us or we experience something. That's the offense that comes to us. But to be offended is what we allow to happen to us if the offense comes. Now the fact is it's impossible to get through life without offenses coming our way. But it is largely up to us to decide whether that offense is going to offend us. And I think this is important because I have pastored in Bellevue. I'm working on my 40th year. And my son now pastors, and they call me Bishop. We work together, but he pastors. But I've been there almost 40 years pastoring. And I believe, and I know a lot of other people, I'm talking to a lot of other pastors, I am convinced that there are far more people that are going to be eternally lost because of offenses than they are because of drugs, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, or any of those other things. Now, once a person gets offended, they may do all those other things. But the root of it is usually not those things. There's far more people that will lose their soul over being affected by an offense than there will anything else I know of. What people may know and what people may see may be the deeds that they do that are sinful. But the root of it many times is far different than what we see out there in their life. And so I'm saying this today is because not any of us, according to Jesus, will get through life without offenses coming our way. It doesn't matter if we're young. Doesn't matter how old we achieve our age to be and live long enough to be a ripe old age. It doesn't matter. There's still offenses that will come our way. Doesn't matter if we're male or female. Doesn't matter if we're handsome or if we're not so handsome or we're not so comely. But the fact is, offenses will still come our way. Doesn't matter if we have a high IQ or low IQ. Offenses will come our way. It doesn't matter if we live in Alaska or Florida. Offenses will come our way. I probably preached in about 20 other countries, and I have found in every country offenses will come their way. Because Jesus said it's impossible, but they will come our way. But we don't have to be offended. And that's what I'm going to deal on just for a few minutes as I dig into this. We don't have to be offended because Proverbs 18:19, as we read, because once we get offended, Once a brother or sister or any person is offended, it's harder to be one, for them to be one, than a strong city. It's saying it's harder to win a brother back who's offended, or to win them in the first place if they're already offended, than to go for one man to single-handedly go conquer a city and to have a victory over a city. And it said their contentions are like bars of a castle. And a person who's offended, you can reason with them every way as possible. You can try to explain, and you can try to soothe, and you can try to encourage, and they're like bars to a castle. No matter where you go, there's bars there. And if you try this way, there's bars there. Because they allowed themselves to be offended. Now, Jesus said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. But it is not impossible to keep ourselves from being offended. Let's praise the Lord a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that I'm going to mention just a few things and ways that people can be offended. But you see, God does great things, but He does not always answer our prayers the way we ask. Now, the fact is, I believe He does answer every prayer. He doesn't give us the answer we want every time, but He answers our prayers. And I do believe that one of the top offenses that people can allow to affect them in their life is when they pray a certain prayer and they may feel, I got no answer. But the fact is, God did answer, but He answered His own way. Living for God for a long time gives us that experience of knowing that God does know what He's doing. If we read the Bible and go back to the book of Genesis and go all the way through and all the lives of the great men and women of faith, and even people who are even little known people, the fact is they prayed prayers, and sometimes God gave them exactly what they asked for, but sometimes God did not. As Apostle Paul once said, I prayed about this thorn in my flesh, and I said, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. But the Lord said that my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take the thorn away, but I'm going to give you grace to bear it and get through it. Job said, Lord, don't let my children die. Lord, don't let my cattle all be stolen and taken away. Don't let my servants be slaughtered in battle out in the field. But the Lord allowed the enemy to come in and take those things. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Hallelujah. 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 Offenses came, but Job refused to be offended. It is a challenge in life, but it is a challenge to our faith. It is not in and of ourselves. The lesson this morning that was taught is so tied in with what I'm saying here about loyalty and about how that faithfulness, and just talking about how that things can come our way that can destroy that loyalty or faithfulness, but we have to make a decision to remain. Many times when God does it for others, maybe He doesn't do it all for us the same way. We can be offended if we're not careful. My wife and I had a baby. Our second child died from spinal meningitis. And yet I've seen many other babies miraculously healed. When the doctor says they cannot live. One baby, in at the time of birth, real close to the time of coming up on birth, they were not able to find, I'm talking about not too long ago, in modern days, medicine. They couldn't find a heartbeat for 2 days. They'd already made up their mind they were going to have to take the baby. It was already dead. There was no way it could live. And after 2 days of them declaring and searching and looking and finally making a decision, just before they decided to take that baby, lo and behold, the heartbeat came back. And they began to find that heartbeat. Whether it was extremely low and the baby was almost dead, or whether it was dead for 2 days, all I know is that God is able and that God has done it. And He has healed and He can heal. God chose not to heal our Gina. And she went on to be with the Lord a long time ago. We have 3 children. They're all in ministry in one way or another. And doing the work of the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, if Gina would be here, she would probably be as good as any or better than all. But the Lord made His decision. And that's an offense that comes our way. But it's our choice to whether we be offended, or whether we just allow ourselves to get closer to God. a fantastic thing that happened in the way of a goodness of God happened to Sister Lisa's daughter, Christina. When they were coming home from college, they were motor pooling together, coming home from junior college, and a group of our young people in our church. And they went through an intersection where a car hit them and hit the van. The way it flipped and turned, it landed on its side. The motor was still running, and they all climbed out, just kind of stunned and looking around, trying to say, is everybody okay? Is everybody okay? And they was going down the line, counting and calling each other's name, and they finally called Clay's name, Clay Dawson. Clay, 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 no answer. And Donnie Ellis, a young man in our church at that time, was still in his teens, with a prayer warrior of a young teenage boy. That young man was running around that van and saw Clay's feet just from the knees out sticking out from under that van. And that van had landed on the side of him, on its side, right on top of him. And he was just praying and speaking in tongues by this time. And so he said, he's yanking at that van, of course, trying to do the impossible, pick that van up off that boy. And he couldn't, he's his friend, he couldn't get to him. And so finally he said, I need some help. And he started praying, God help me. And about that time, a voice spoke to him and said, let me see if I can, a deep voice, he said, let me help you with that. He said, look, there was four men standing behind him. And said they picked that van up, and he yanked Clay by the ankles and pulled out from under that van. And when he pulled him out from under that van, he, of course, dropped to his knees to try to say, hey, Clay, 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 Clay. Clay was unconscious for a little bit and rattled, and finally started coming around. He looked up to thank the men, but they were gone. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he realized the engine was still running, and gasoline was dripping, and it was on a gravel road, and he was concerned about a fire. And so he tried to reach to the ignition, to turn the ignition off. And Donnie's a great guy, but he is a little guy. And even full grown, he's still kind of small and small framed, and he couldn't reach it. He said, I need some help. Somebody help me. And the same voice spoke to him, and he stepped aside, and a big old long-armed man reached in and took the key, stopped the ignition. And when he turned to thank him, he was not there. He was gone. Amen. The next day, Sister Lisa, if I understand it right, went to ask some of the people from a restaurant that was there about the inquiring about these people, and they could not give an answer as to where they came from or where they went. I believe the Lord miraculously sends his angels if we need them. He'll take care of his people when we need him. I know that Clay, though, when in the Ocala hospital, they x-rayed him. They're close, a real good hospital nearby us there. And declare that he had just massive fractures all in his skull. When they looked at the van, it's my understanding, since at least if I've got this right, that the imprint, the actual shape of his head and shoulders were under that van where it landed straight down on him in a hard landing. And when they took him to the local hospital, they said, we can't handle it all here. They sent him to the trauma unit and the ward up in Gainesville. And they sent him up there, and the x-rays here showed this. And in the meantime, the church was praying. And when they got to the Gainesville hospital, the x-rays showed there wasn't one fracture in his face. Not one fracture anywhere in his head. I'm talking about two different x-rays, and they all both look different. When I got up there to see Clay, he says, I said, all they had to do is clean the gravel off of my razor. When it scooped in his mouth and kind of cleaned that out and close it up a little bit. But other than that, he said, I'm ready to go home. But of course, they didn't let him go home for a couple of days, so they checked him out. But that's how great God is. That's how great God is. And you know, the sad situation is that sometimes God does not answer the prayer that way. And if we allow ourselves to become offended, we can forget all the good things that God has ever done, as you said earlier, and just begin to think about the times that God did not answer in the way that we ask Him to answer and to do what we ask Him to do. That is called trusting God. Just trusting the Lord. When I was a young person, I tried something. I was a young preacher. I was 16 years old, just starting to preach. I was so excited, preaching in my home church, as a matter of fact, where my dad was pastoring. And they had a little curtain across there, and Dad had gotten an old, one of these heavy velvet drapes from a local high school. And so when the kids had plays, they could close the curtain, you know, fancy for a little country church. And I seen that bar up there one night, and I was feeling so good in the Holy Ghost. I said to one of my friends, boost me up, let me grab that bar. I guess I thought I was going to fly. And as soon as I grabbed that bar, God didn't help me a bit. That whole curtain came down on top of me in front of the whole church. Now, I guess I could have said, that's the end of my worship. That's the end of my exciting days. That's the end of my zeal. But instead, I just said, I'm not going to try that one anymore. But there's 100 other things I can do to worship God. Most of it makes a whole lot more sense than that. But God does not always answer the way we ask Him. Sometimes we can get offended because man fails in their walk with God. We watch that. We can get offended. Sometimes a man will not recognize our efforts and our trying to do things right, and we can get offended because of lack of recognition. Sometimes a man fails, maybe he fails to treat us right. He doesn't keep his word to us in some way. And we can, that's an offense, and that's wrong on their part. But we choose, am I going to get offended, or am I just going to go on and keep believing God and having trust in people as long as I can? Sometimes offenses come our way because a man may take a wrong approach, even while just trying to reach us with the gospel. And sometimes people can be turned off because they have these assumptions. Many offenses come to our life through assumptions. We assume this is the way it is. We assume that's the way it is with a preacher, or the pastor, or the man in the church, that brother over there, that sister over there. We assume things, and we conceive things in our mind to be a certain way, and offenses come. Now, I want to make this clear also. Sometimes that offense does simply this. It stops us with progressing. Sometimes it's not a matter of going to heaven or hell. We may a saved person, a good person in the church, but an offense comes their way, and they allow themselves to become offended. So then I'm not going to be involved anymore. And they worship the Lord. And sometimes they'll come to church just in time to get there and leave one of the first ones out because they've been offended. But they come to church. They love God. They serve the Lord. But they won't get involved anymore. They won't get help out. They won't get in. I don't want to get involved with church people. They'll always let you down. You know, you don't want to get involved in all that. Somebody's going to do wrong. But you see, the offense comes our way. But it's up to us how we respond to that offense. Whether we cast it off or not. Things we can do. For instance, how important is our right eye? Or if you're right-handed, how important is your right hand? Yet Jesus said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. And then he said the next verse, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Better to go through this life and into eternity with missing an eye or hand than to enter into hell with a whole body. And what's the solution? Don't allow anything to become so important in our life that we get so attached to it that we couldn't let go if we needed to. And that's an extreme example to say a right eye and a right hand, but Jesus said it. He used it for an example. But if it's going to offend us, if it's going to be that downfall for us, we should never get attached to anything that we can't say, I give it to you, Lord. When we're doing our worst and our greatest trials upon us, others are flourishing. Oh, that's a great time to get offended. God, you don't like me. How come they're doing well? They're not. They should be paying my bills. Now, I don't know anything about anybody. That never happens in Alaska. But how come you're not paying my bills? Y'all doing so good, and I'm doing so bad. John the Baptist had been preaching. He had a great ministry, a thriving ministry. But he got put in jail for just telling the truth. And he's in jail about to be beheaded. And so he asks some of his friends, say, please go ask this Jesus. Is he the one that should come, or should we look for another? And Jesus said, go show John the things that you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And verse 6, Jesus sums all those great accolades up, those great things that are happening in that revival. He adds it all up by saying, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He was talking about himself, and he knew that he had taken up where John had left off. He realized that John had sowed the seed. He realized that John had prepared the way, and that he stepped in and was reaping the ministry of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So he said, when you hear other people having good times, and you hear other people being blessed or prosperous, or their ministry flourishing, or their family flourishing, that's no time to be offended because you're going through your worst trial, because God always has a way through. God always has a way out. God always has a way to make you a fit winner at the finishing line. Let's praise the Lord a minute. I'm sorry, Jimmy, I forgot to tell you, I'm three-fourths of the way done already. Praise God. It's so important that we don't allow ourselves to be offended. You know, sometimes we say, well, I believed the word, I obeyed the word, and look what happens. Something bad happened to me. It didn't work out for me. I feel really, really, really bad for anybody who comes into the church and gets a taste of it and say it didn't work for me. We don't know whether things work for us until we fully commit ourselves and until we live for the Lord a while. Oh, you've got to live for him a while to know how good he is. You've got to live for the Lord. It's great to receive the Holy Ghost. It's exciting. And that is absolutely the most phenomenal thing that can happen to a human being is be born again of water and of the Spirit. But we really don't know how to really appreciate God until we've lived for God a while. And that's when we really know. And the scripture said that some seed that sower was sowing, you know, some fell on by the wayside, some fell among thorns, but it said some fell in stony places. And it's the same as he that hears the word and with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, and it endures just for a while. But when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Because persecution and tribulation came along because of the word. Lord, I obeyed your word. I believe your word. I love your word. And why is it now that I'm going through all this stuff? But this man went through that offense and was offended because he had stones in his heart. He had those hard places in him. Those things that could easily catch an offense and easily catch some way that they could be destroyed in their attitude. Attitude is all of it. I got a couple more points to make and I'm going to close. Our background can dictate how the truth affects us, and we must never allow our background to dictate it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22, 23, along in there. Apostle said, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. And to the Jews, stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The very fact that you're in this place today and you're at this moment today proves that there's something in us that we desire from God. And our background can affect how we hear things said. Our background can affect whether we be Jews or Greeks, it's saying here, to different ones, it affects them different ways. One interesting thing that I want to point out concerning offenses and being offended, the offense comes, if we allow it to offend us, then the offense has become our master. Pastoring through the years, one thing has really astounded me. People think if they forgive somebody, if they really did them wrong, I mean really, really did them wrong. If they forgive them, that means they're getting away with it. Forgiving somebody don't free them. Forgiving somebody frees you. They're still going to reap what they sow. And I can tell you that the one who knows how to exact judgment better than anybody is God. And it's so we can, and we sometimes can say, well, I turned it over to God. But yeah, well, why are we still grieving over it 10 years later? Why are we still aggravated about it? Why is it we still get agitated about it years later when we think about it if we really turn it over to God? So you see, sometimes it's not a matter of whether it will make us be lost. And although I'll touch on that before I finish, but sometimes it just simply stops our progress. It just stops us to where we can receive no more teaching. We can receive no more spiritual growth. We can receive no more because our offense made us to be offended. Here is the way we keep power over offenses. In Philemon, a very short book written by the Apostle Paul to a man named Philemon, who most historians say was a very, by today's standards, would be a multimillionaire, a very wealthy man. He had a slave named Onesimus, who ran away. And some traditional history says that Paul and Onesimus ended up in the same jail together. And Paul converted Onesimus, the runaway slave who'd been caught and put in jail, ready to be sent back home to his master in those days. But somehow Onesimus now is saved, and that's another story. But now Paul is talking to Philemon, and he starts out in Philemon 1, verse 1. He announces himself, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see here, Paul says this also in other places. Paul, because he's kind of a jailbird. Preaching the gospel, getting arrested on the streets, causing a revival or a riot, and sometimes both. You folks just going out, praise God for it. You run into some offenses out there, but never be offended. And Paul, you see here, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. This is what I get out of this. Even though it was a man that arrested him, even though it was a government that put him in jail, even though he has armed guards at the door, Paul refused to say, I'm a prisoner of any man. He refused to say, I'm a prisoner of Rome. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. If I'm in this jail, I'm not in this jail because a man wanted me in this jail. I'm in this jail because God allowed me to be in this jail. And it's impossible to be offended when you put yourself in God's hands and refuse to give man the power over us. I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm not a prisoner of this city or this jail. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Whatever they do to me, it won't happen unless God decides it'll happen. Wherever they put me in jail or whenever I get out, it's not all their decision. It's where the God says I'm going to get in or out. One more example of that. In David's life, the great man David, the man after God's own heart, he was going down along his way, minding his own business. And as he was going down this old dirty rocky road, as it is, about everything is rocks over there in that part of the world. And he was going along there. Shimei comes out and cursed him. And just, I mean, he might have been saying some curse words, I don't know, but basically he was trying to put a hex curse on him. And he said, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. And then one of David's mighty men, Abishai, comes over by him and says, hey, why should this dead dog curse my king? How about you let me go over there and just take his head off? That's what he said. And David said, the king said, and what have I to do with you? The one that said, I want to take his head off. He said, you just hold on a minute here. So let him curse. Because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Well, I'm talking about the offenses coming, how they affect us, has everything to do with our attitude. You see, David refused to put himself under the power of Shimei. He refused to say, it's his decision to curse me today. David says, I look unto the Lord, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I refuse to believe that I'm under the power or curse of Shimei. He can curse all he wants to. He can put hexes on me all he wants to. It means nothing. Because if he's doing it, I'm walking with the Lord. And the Lord must have said to him, get up and go out there and curse David. That's what it says. You know, one way to never, ever be offended? Make sure you understand, I'm in the hands of God, not that person. I'm in the hands of God, not this situation. I'm in the hands of God, not the economy. I'm in the hands of God, not the government. I'm in the hands of God. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed are they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hallelujah. 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 The Apostle Paul, as you, if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you see that he felt sometimes very frustrated because he felt like the Corinthian church was doing a lot for other people. They wouldn't do much for him. And he couldn't even hardly get them to buy his groceries or pay for his travel expense. He said, I had to rob other churches to do you service, Corinthians. But he said, here's what his attitude was. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I'll spend on and I'll have my life spent for you. I'll do it with gladness. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This last part with me here. Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You see, I'm not going to be offended at other people because I'm depending on the Lord. If I'm in prison, I'm the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, not that guy. If I'm being cursed, I'm saying the Lord must have decided I need to be cursed today. Because I'm in the Lord's direction, not that man's direction. I'm not in his power. We can stay in God's power. But as soon as we allow somebody or something to offend us, we're not under God's power. We're under that power. And as long as we stay offended, we're under the power of that situation from then on. But oh, if we keep our eyes up, if we realize that maybe we misunderstood something, or even if they did it on purpose or did it inadvertently, it doesn't matter because I'm under the Lord's hand. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come up upon me to eat my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host shall encamp around against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. It don't matter what everybody else is saying. It don't matter what this world is doing. The Lord has got a hold of my life. And the Lord is going to put me where he wants me. And he's going to keep me the way he wants me. Let's praise the Lord. Would you stand with me and praise the Lord? Would you worship the Lord with all your heart? Praise the Lord Jesus. Our God. Our God is a great Savior. Our God is so good. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you do this? Would you take a moment and search your heart and think, is there something that keeps coming to my mind that makes me think negative about church or about serving God? Or, you know, it not only could stop your progress, being offended could cause you to be lost. It could cause a person to never give their heart fully to God in the first place because they have this certain impression that was put upon their life. And it's a negative impression. When the fact is... You can't know how good God is until you really put your whole heart into him. Because you see, God knows the heart. He don't come in unless he's the only resident. He takes the whole heart for himself. So give him your whole heart today. What I want us all to do is search our heart and say, Lord, if there's something that keeps hindering me, I want you, Lord, to take it out. You see, his blood can cover it all. His great nail-scarred hand. He said, I know what it is. They crucified me. And I looked at a prisoner, a thief on the cross that had just been cursing me when he looked at me and said, remember me today, Lord, when you come into paradise. And Jesus says, I said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. A man that had just cursed me, now I'm saying, I'm going to take you with me to paradise. Jesus, with his nail-scarred hand, is going to say, I know what it is for people to slap me. I know what it is for people to speak evil and lie and stand up in court, in the Jewish court, and tell one lie after another. I know what it is for people to prefer a murderer to be released into the public rather than releasing me that's only done good. They yell, give us Barabbas. Let Jesus be crucified. But Jesus said, that's why he knows what you're going through. And he's able to reach in with his nail-scarred hand and take out the hardness and put in a heart of flesh, a heart that's able to be touched. Pray with me now, Lord. Let's search our hearts in the name of Jesus. Would you be honest with yourself enough to say, Lord, take that offense away. Heal me of being offended. Heal me, Lord Jesus, of anything that's got in my heart and spirit that's held me back. Deliver me, Lord Jesus, from anything that has hindered me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It is the Lord who is my salvation. It is the Lord who is my salvation. Hallelujah. Do you need to give your life to God? Do you need to make a recommitment to God? Do you need to get that some kind of offended spirit out of your heart? It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you allowed something to happen. Maybe you now wish it had never happened that way. But today Jesus can make the difference. He can take it out. He can heal your heart. He can heal your thinking. He can heal the way you feel so that you can be ready for eternity. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus,
seek the Lord. Seek Jesus, the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near.
How I trust him.
How I prove him more and more.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus.
You know what a beautiful thing it would be if we all just kind of move a little closer. Just as a step of faith to say, Lord, I will not be offended. I am not or I will not. Oh, yes, Lord. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here in a mighty way. The Spirit of the Lord is here in a wonderful way. Hallelujah. Do you need the Holy Ghost today? God will be with the Spirit. Do you need forgiveness of sin? Jesus will forgive you if you repent and ask him. Hallelujah. Do you need your sins remitted? Jesus will do it in his name in water baptism. In the name of Jesus. Oh, for